What You Need to Know is brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times, less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. Linz, what do you got?
All right, guys. So there's a new top dog at the Westminster Dog Show. Big fan of the dog show, so I wanted to tell you guys who won. Buddy Holly, the Petite Basset Griffon Vendine, which is also known as a PBGV, won Best in Show at the annual Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show. After winning the Hound Group earlier in the dog show, the six-year-old PBGV from Palm Springs moved on to the Best in Show round, and he beat out Winston the French Bulldog, Ribbon the Australian Shepherd, and Cider the English Setter, among others, for the top prize. Rummy the Pekingese, which to me is a very strange-looking dog, won the runner-up title. So then today, I guess, traditionally, the winners of this dog show will follow up their big night with a morning visit to the Empire State Building and a champions lunch at Tavern on the Green in Central Park.
Nice.
Yeah, so good job, Buddy Holly.
I'm looking at Buddy Holly right now. Cute dog. Cute. Mm-hmm. In fact, what I like about Buddy Holly is, you know, like a lot of times when you find out who the winner is of this dog show, because I don't ever watch it, but for some reason it's always in my consciousness. Usually those dogs are the kind of dogs you look at them and you're like, it doesn't even look like a pet dog, you know? Just looks pure show dog. Buddy Holly looks like the kind of dog that you're like, come here, Buddy Holly. Come here. Hello, doggy. Hello. Hello, Buddy Holly. Hello, little doggy. Like, that's what he looks like to me.
Is that how you talk to your dog?
Well, that's how I talk to most dogs. I'm like, hello, little doggy. Hello. How are you, little Mr. Doggy? Hello.
So you talk to him like Adam Sandler and right, like, like Waterboy or something?
Right, like, hello, little doggy. How are you? Hello, Buddy Holly. How are you? Buddy Holly, huh?
good Lord. It's so funny. All right. All right. That is What You Need to Know, brought to you by Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Good times. Less than 90 minutes from wherever you are. I don't even know what, how to follow that up.
All right. So as far as following that up, you were talking just before the break. Mm-hmm. About Anthony Davis and discipline. Mm-hmm. And about how he as a player is playing a disciplined, winning championship caliber way. What were you talking about?
Basically that Anthony Davis, mm-hmm. when he shows the discipline, right, of just being able to stay focused, right? And this has been kind of the whole season. I mean, you could actually extend it out to his whole career, right, with the Lakers. That when he's focused and he's right and he's healthy, but particularly focused, right? Because we've seen at least the, you know, people out there, and honestly, the body language sometimes feels that way, will tell you, fair or unfair, that it looks like he can zone out. Is that a fair assessment of the way people describe him at times?
Yeah, I mean, I can remember the night that LeBron broke the all-time scoring record. People were like, what's up with AD? Like, is he even into this game? Is he part of this? What's going on? Now, granted, it was a different roster, and there were a lot of different personalities, and the chemistry of the locker room was very, very different. But, yeah, I think what you're saying is right.
Yeah, so I think that when he's locked in, mm-hmm. and I think he's locked in right now, he's in a place that I haven't seen him since the bubble. And I know people are like, oh, but the one game up, one game down. Well, he dismissed that notion the other night, okay?
Oh, he did, finally.
So we can get past that, okay? Despite the fact that he's been going up against two former players in these last two series that are either the current or former defensive player of the year, okay? Like,
but you do acknowledge, though, that on a night like tonight, for the Lakers to win...
Every night. It's right. Not just tonight. It's every night.
But here's the thing. If Anthony right. Davis tonight, if he goes and scores 12 points or 15 points...
They're going to lose.
That's right. Yeah, so he's got to have... He doesn't have to have 32, or he doesn't even have to have 40, but he's got to have 24, 25, 26.
Let me explain something to you. I had this conversation with somebody a couple days ago about Anthony Davis.
Who were you talking to?
To Evan Cohen.
Oh, okay.
On Sirius XM NBA Radio.
Shout out to Evan.
Yeah. Good Jewish boy like you.
Yes, he is.
So he asked me about Anthony Davis, and I was telling him about just kind of like the stuff we've talked about, which is like... I don't feel like the coaches have always done him, a solid, right, by the positioning and things of that nature. And what I also added was Anthony Davis, because he started saying to me, like, you know, like LeBron being the best player. And I stopped him. I said, no, Anthony Davis is the best player now. And he's like, so then what's the issue? I said, well, I guess if there was an issue, beyond what I've already described about the coaching, maybe not always being there for him and helping him out and putting him in the right positions necessarily. I do think that there is part of this that's on him. And I explained to Evan at the time on NBA radio that I think what AD is going through now, unlike in the bubble, is that he is the best player. And everyone's been telling him, you got to be the best player. You got to be the best player. You got to be the best player. But you know what comes with being the best player on a basketball team?
I mean, I think I do, but I'm curious to hear what you think.
It means you're at the top of the scouting report. What it means is you're not going to get single covered almost at any point. You're going to get double teamed the whole time. We saw it during the season. Remember when he had a stretch during the season where Toronto was the first team to do it? And we're like, oh my God, what's going on with Anthony Davis? And every day I tell you, well, teams are kind of throwing two and three guys at him. Like, it's just hard. And that's what took him out of games. But that's what being the best player on a championship level team means. You have to try to overcome that stuff. And I think in the last game, you saw him do that a little bit. Now, I think it's a little more challenging for a guy who's a big man like him and not a perimeter player like LeBron or Kobe or any of these kind of guys. Because ultimately, they got to get the ball, right? Somebody's got to get them the ball. It's not like he's going to necessarily break somebody down off the top of the key and, you know, just kind of work his magic. He doesn't have... You know, maybe he could do that, but I don't think he has the quickness of a Giannis to be able to do that, right? So I think that's part of it is he's the number one guy, and he's kind of not used to being the number one guy in the way teams deal with him. He's used to having LeBron having the ability to attract so much attention that it makes his life easy. And now that has flipped. He's got to do that for LeBron.
Well, you know, look, George, as the season went on, the one thing we talked about consistently was that Anthony Davis has to be the focal point of this team on the offensive end, okay? And in the early part of the season, I know we had a big debate because I said, you can't be the leader when you have a personality like LeBron on your team. He's just too overwhelming of a personality. It's hard for a human being to say, well, I'm going to take over and be the leader, even though we got the greatest player of the era on our team. But what I think has happened is, as the roster has changed, LeBron, and we talked about this earlier in the week, has grown to trust his teammates. But I think most importantly, he's grown to not just trust, but believe that Anthony Davis can actually stay healthy. Because when he's healthy and he's playing every night, we've seen how great he can be. So I feel like in some ways, LeBron, after he came back from injury, and as this team has been peaking or gelling towards a peak, I think LeBron has trusted AD and his teammates a whole lot more. And I think that feeling that as a player must be an awesome thing. Like, he finally trusts us. He's not saying, get out of the way and give me the ball.
But that doesn't fly with Anthony Davis because he's been trying to do that with Anthony Davis for years.
It hadn't happened.
Right, but it's not LeBron's fault.
No, but don't you think that Anthony Davis is playing so well right now and everything we're talking about has become so obvious, meaning he has to be, he is, they're bringing more, he's being defended differently, he's number one on the priority of the scouting report, et cetera, et cetera. Don't you feel like right now Anthony Davis is in a position where he's playing so well that he can now exert more of who he is as, I am the number one?
Yes, but he also has to be accustomed. This is part of the ups and downs, right, that you're seeing. That's what I'm referring to. Forget about the existential stuff that you're talking about because we're beyond that at this point. Like, everybody knows he's the best player on the team, and everyone knows he's the most important player on this team. Yes or no?
No question about it.
Okay, so let's move past that. What he needs to be able to deal with is the stuff people are going to throw at you when you're the number one guy. It's something LeBron has dealt with for, you know, 19 seasons prior to this one, okay? Well,
yeah, and you talk about his focus, but I would just say that intensity-wise, if he takes a shot, and I don't mean like literally gets elbowed in the head or falls hard on the ground. I mean, if somebody is taking it to him and having some success, from an attitude standpoint, as a number one guy, as a leader, he can't be taken out of a game emotionally because things aren't going his way. And I feel like we've seen that a little bit in these playoffs, and that's been the highs and the lows. I mean, I'm looking for Anthony Davis tonight to solidify that he is the superstar of
right.
this team.
He's got to play through that. And when I was bodying you up on Friday, trying to show you what he needs to do, what I was explaining to you was he's got to demand more from his coaching staff if he doesn't feel like he's getting the support he needs to put him in positions to succeed. It's what LeBron would do. It's what Kobe would do. It's what Michael Jordan would do. It's what, you know, Kareem would do. It's what Magic would do. It's what anybody who's been the number one option at any point in their life would do. And that's also part of his growth, that he's got to, if he feels, and look, if I feel that way, there's no way he can't have at least an inkling of that, okay? Because I'm not a guy who's actually played in the NBA. I've never even played really? College basketball before,
oh.
okay?
Oh, I thought but you were All-American.
But I know what the hell I'm watching when I'm watching basketball, and there's no way that you could tell me in a lot of those games that he's getting the support he deserves. But that's also on him. He's got to go. It's not about, because usually the default there is like people go, well, he's got to demand the ball from his teammates. No, no. He's got to demand more from his coaching staff in those scenarios to get him easier looks. And that's also part of being the number one, because you're going to get looks defensively that you've never seen before because you really haven't been the number one guy, even though maybe you've started to slide to be the best person or the best player on the court.
All right, I want to just slow this conversation down for a quick second and get back to you bodying me up last Friday. Look, let me tell you something, George. Mm-hmm. I acknowledge that from the chest to the knees, you got a little thickness to you, okay? You got a little junk in the trunk. You got a little dump truck going on back there. You feel me? Mm-hmm. Okay? And when you stuck your butt right into my midsection and started pushing me backwards, okay, thinking you're like little Shaquille O'Neal and I'm like Sean Bradley all up in this mug, okay? I mean, look. You didn't really exactly, I didn't know you were coming at me quite like that. I mean, next time I might lean back into you a little bit. I mean, you're taking a lot of credit for bullying me around the floor, you know?
I mean, I did it twice, though.
I mean, again, it was a very Shaquille O'Neal, Sean Bradley kind of moment. Yeah. I didn't realize you had that big old dump truck.
Yeah. Better be ready. Stay ready, you don't have to get ready.
I know, I wasn't ready. I acknowledge it. I wasn't ready to play defense.
Yeah.
You know? I'm like a Jordan Poole kind of player. Like, I'll shoot from anywhere. But I don't know anything about no defense. You understand?
You got to be ready.
Comprende?
Si.
All right.
Okay.
Let's get to this game. Come on, let's go. Let's get
to
this game.
Well, Slee's coming up in about 15 minutes. But first, we got to talk about the fact that the award-winning Radio Tinder's coming up next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
All right, guys, so Steve Kerr has been very vocal about the Lakers' fouls and how he thinks they're flopping their way to getting all these calls. Well, a few minutes ago, Chris Haynes on TNT had this pregame report about that exact thing.
Steve Kerr added to that, saying that the Lakers are getting away with some flopping. And he said that they're fooling the refs. And he's encouraging the refs to look deeper into that and not fall for that. So I had to get the Lakers' perspective on how they feel about what Steve Kerr is doing, which is call gamesmanship this time of year. And I text a prominent Laker player. This was his response to me via text. Let them bleep and complain. It shows weakness and frustration. We can't get caught up in that game. We just have to play and keep fighting. And on the Warriors.
All right.
Mm-hmm. So do you guys think this will have an impact in tonight's game? Swipe left or swipe right?
I'm going to swipe right because I do think that when Steve Kerr made that subtle comment, I think that the refs will keep an eye on that. Like, that's something that's going to, that's how this thing works generally, that they're going to see and take a look at how the screens work. Now, that can also work against you, potentially, depending on how your screens are set. But it's certainly going to be a point of emphasis. I don't think there's any question.
Yeah, I'm swiping left on this one. I think the referees all know that they're under pressure, that Kerr has put it out there that the Lakers are a bunch of floppers. And I don't think they're going to get caught up in that tonight, because then everybody's going to be like, look what they did. They listened to Steve Kerr. But this whole report, I texted a prominent Lakers player. So let's just say that he texted a guy like Dennis Schroeder. Is he less prominent, let's say, than LeBron or AD? If he texted Lonnie Walker, would he say, I spoke to a somewhat prominent guy? Would he say, I spoke to some bench guy? Oh, these words, man. A prominent Laker player.
You have a lot of issues with the way people do their job.
No, it's just like the other day. What was the
report he had? How about this? Do you want me to have them throw you out there and show them how it's done?
No, nah, I'll wait for football season. Hmm. You know?
Yeah, but you're not. Your favorite sideline reporter, Lisa Salters, does Monday Night Football. You're not unseating her.
But I'm on radio on Monday nights. I'll be there.
Oh, are you?
I'll be there.
Okay.
You're back at it?
I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see how the schedule plays out. But here's the thing. It's like the other day. A high-ranking Laker official told me they're going to give rings to Patrick Beverley and Russell Westbrook. High-ranking team official. Who? I spoke to a prominent player. Why didn't you say a player? Whatever.
What would you say if George said that on his sideline hit?
Oh, it'd be totally different because, you know, George is my guy, you know?
Oh, okay. That's what I thought. Figured I'd ask.
Yeah.
All right, next one. A TikTok account known for sharing unethical life hacks recently addressed the issue of airline passengers who fully recline their plane seats. In a video that has over 120,000 likes, this life hack says, quote, when you're on a flight and the person in front of you reclines their seat all the way and leaves you no room, turn on the air conditioner above you and blast and point it at the top of their head.
Oh, good idea.
Viewers of the clip battled it out in the comments section about who was in the wrong. Do you think that this hack is a jerk move? Swipe left or swipe right, Cappy?
I'm going to swipe right. I do not think it's a jerk move. I also don't think it's a jerk move to recline your seat all the way, because that's how far the seat goes and that's what the airline allows you to do. But like me personally, I actually don't recline my seat, and it's got nothing to do with the person behind me. I just find it a little more comfortable the upward way. But if somebody did do that and they reclined all the way, and people mostly do, I think putting your air conditioner on the top of their head would get them to move. I like that idea. And if not, they got a cold head.
I generally, no. So to just to address the seating thing, I would say that I generally, it depends on how short the flight is. If it's like today, like I'm going to Phoenix, it's an hour, like less probably. I'm probably not reclining, number one. Mostly because I'm probably reading and I'm sitting. I want to sit up, you know what I mean? And just do whatever I'm going to do for the game and get ready for the game.
Yes, I do.
But if it's a long flight and then I see the person behind me reclines, then it's like, all right, I'm good. Like, I like to give them a little, you know, I don't want to be the guy that reclines if they're doing work. Because, you know, if you have the little tray out, you know what I mean? Like then all of a sudden that tray moves closer to their body and it's all like discombobulated for them. So I try to be at least a little considerate. If I see they're reclining, I'm like, all right, then I'll recline.
What a sweetheart. What an angel.
And as far as the AC thing, listen, man. Got to do what you got to do to stay comfortable, okay?
Seriously. Listen, but blow it on their head. You know?
I mean, if someone was blasting like cold air on my head, I don't think I would move. I would just stay there.
Well, okay. Unless you're bald and then and then your head is really cold.
You're right, but I'm not, so. So wear a hat next time, Cappy, just in case you got one of those guys sitting in front of you.
Right. Not just a hat. I'm going to have one of those cool hats. You know, I don't mean like just a baseball cap. I mean like a really cool like snow hat, you know, that I wear when it's not even cold out.
Yes, exactly. Dope.
And looks sunglasses dope. Inside.
Great idea. It's like very LeBron. Stylish.
Just like LeBron.
LeBron can pull it off, though. All right, so since we don't have time for Big Deal or No Deal, I want to do one here before we hand off to Lakers pregame. Carolina Panthers GM Scott Fittier made a surprising announcement yesterday during an interview with NBC's Pro Football Talk. He declared veteran Andy Dalton as the team's starting quarterback heading into the season over number one overall pick Bryce Young. Fittier said that the team does not have a timeline for Young to take over the starting job. Is this a big deal or no deal, George?
No deal. A lot of guys don't start the season. Even the number one overall pick doesn't always start the season as the quarterback under center in game one. There's been a lot. Eli Manning sat eight games behind Kurt Warner at the New York Giants. Like, it happens more than you think. So I'm not a big deal to me.
But hold on. Did you say that Andy Dalton?
That's correct.
Is there a guy?
Mm-hmm.
Really? I didn't know mm-hmm. Andy Dalton was there now. I thought Andy Dalton's career kind of ended in like Dallas a couple of years ago.
What are you talking about? He played in New Orleans last year.
Boy, I barely remember that. I mean, my goodness.
Aren't you the football guy? How the hell do you not know that Andy Dalton was in New Orleans last year? The Red Rifle.
How are you going to do sidelines, Cap, if you don't know that?
Seriously.
Didn't have any Saints games.
I hope Howie's not listening.
I hope Howie is listening. I spoke to Howie today. I bet he is listening.
Howie, don't just discard that from your memory.
No, that's fine. I don't care. It's fine. Hey, clearly, listen, how many games did he play last year?
Cap, you were clearly not talking to any high prominent officials.
I was not talking to any high ranking officials from the New Orleans Saints. None whatsoever. None.
You definitely were.
How many games did he play in last year for the Saints?
I want to say he played. He started almost all the games.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And how'd they do last year, the Saints?
They were not good.
Yeah,
they were.
That would explain why I probably didn't watch any of it.
Right. I want to say that he started easily.
He did start most
like
of the games
12 or 13
last year.
Games.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Way to go, Red Rifle.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3.
Way to go, Rifle.
At least 10 that I can see.
No, I found it here. He started 14.
Okay.
Okay. How many did he finish?
I don't know.
He was their guy.
I don't know about that.
I only looked at
he started 14 games for them last year.
Yeah, Andy Dalton.
Threw 18 touchdowns, 9 picks.
Right. Here he is.
Nearly 3,000 yards.
Yeah. Jameis Winston played in 3 games. Taysom Hill played a little bit as well.
Yeah, but Taysom Hill's like the gadget guy.
But Andy Dalton, I mean, what did they do last year? 7-10. And you guys sit around watching a lot of Saints football last year?
But, I mean, listen, if you're watching the red zone, they're going to pop up.
Plus, fantasy, Cappy. We all play fantasy.
Not me.
I don't play fantasy. You're like anti-fantasy.
I'm just old guy when it comes to fantasy. I don't have the attention span. It means I don't have the attention span.
Oh, you're old guy? I thought that meant like you play it a different way than the rest of us play.
No.
Like,
I mean,
I was going to say, what do you use, an abacus or something to like, you know.
I'm the old guy. I'm the old guy who just can't focus long enough to remember to start my lineup on Sunday mornings. You know what I mean?
No. I mean, come on. Are you serious?
I just don't have the
You're up at like 5 a.m. every day.
I don't have the attention span for it. What can I tell you? So Andy Dalton is now with the Carolina Panthers. That was news to me.
Yeah, stays in the NFC South.
Wow. And he's going to start in front of the number one overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, early in the season. Who cares?
Well, they must. They're probably going to wait until they're good enough. Let's not get this kid hurt. If somebody's going to get hurt, let Andy Dalton get hurt.
Right,
or a young guy.
I mean, there's that too. By the way, that also happened, if I recall correctly, in Philadelphia with Donovan McNabb back in the day. Like they had Doug Peterson, I think, start instead of Donovan McNabb at the beginning of his career.
Mm.
Who ended up being the coach? Obviously.
All right. Can we make a prediction on tonight's game? Can I do this? I'm going to do this. You ready?
Okay.
You ready?
Okay. I thought we didn't have any more.
No, we're out in like a minute and a half. Yeah.
Okay. Right. No, I'm just wondering if we had any more.
George, here goes. Ready?
But let me tell you about Tequila Mandala first. Kevin.
Oh, all right. Go ahead.
Radio Tinder is brought to you by our friends at Tequila Mandala. Always swipe right on Tequila Mandala. Award-winning, small-batch, premium sipping tequila made from the finest mature agaves. Available everywhere fine tequilas are sold. Visit their website, tequilamandala.com, and demand the extraordinary with Tequila Mandala. Tequila Mandala, by the way, will be a prominent fixture at the Mandy's. But go ahead, Cappy.
Well, here's my prediction, George. Lakers in an unbelievably tight game that comes down to the wire, and LeBron for the win at the end of regulation. What do you think about that?
Except you told us at the beginning of the show you don't believe that that's actually going
to happen. But I'm putting that out there because I want that to happen.
You're such a fraud.
What are you talking about?
You're a phony.
That's what I want to happen.
All right, listen, Cappy. I got more stuff for you. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a cigar aficionado, listen up right now. Fine cigars, scotch tasting, food, and live music. Sounds like heaven, right? Well, we're giving you the chance to attend the premier cigar event of the year at Morongo Casino Resort and Spa. Here's how you can win. You call us right now. Caller number 7 at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. You win 2 tickets to Morongo's Smoking Good Times, the cigar event hosted by James Worthy, Big Game James, and featuring Martini Kings on Sunday, May 21st at 3 p.m. So cigars, scotch tasting, food, and live music, and big game, James. Caller 7 wins right now. Good luck. All right, Cappy, great job today.
I'm trying to call right now, and it's busy.
Yeah. Excellent work, Lindsay and Laura. Playoff Slee is coming up with the pregame. Slee with the pre next.